Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Well, good evening, Amazing Grace, Facebook and YouTube family. It's such a great joy and an honor to come into your living rooms once again. My name is Fee Sullivan, pastor of Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and I hope you had a wonderful evening so far. And I truly hope that this message will bless you and just build you up in your most holy faith. And I just want to give a great big shout out to the worship team last Sunday morning. They did a phenomenal job. We thank and praise God for Sister Kedma Wentz for coming down to be with us. We look forward to more worship services with her. And also, I need you to take just a little note here that on the last Sunday, which is October 30th at 6 p.m., we're going to be having a worship and testimonial service. And so a few songs of worshiping, we'll have two, three come up and testify what God has done in their life. This is the time to give God glory, honor, and praise from your lives, what He's doing in your life. And then we'll have some more worship, and then we'll bring up some more to testify. This all going to begin around 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, October 30th, the last Sunday of this month. So please come on out and testify what God has done in your life. Amen, amen. So I'm so excited about that. Also, this Sunday is our healing rooms once again. Now listen, you're probably wondering what happened to the potluck on Sunday. Well, we're going to begin the potluck, you know, where everyone brings whatever God puts on your heart, you know, for potluck. That'll start in the first healing room session in November. Okay, so right now we put that on pause for right now, but we'll resume in November. Praise God. We'll have a brand new year with our contract, and we'll have that extended time from 12 to 1:30 there in the fellowship hall. So with that said, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. We exalt you and we magnify you, God. And we give you praise, glory, and honor. And Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Please turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, praise God. And we're going to continue. We're going to continue to, we're going to complete this whole entire book, chapter 6, verses 8 through 18. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me and let me situate this screen real quick and so that we can get into our Bible study. Amen, amen. So here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Sowing to the Flesh Reaps Corruption. Sowing to the flesh reaps corruption. Praise God, praise God. Listen, my friends, this is one topic that I know to some churches is very controversial. But I'm here to let you know that what God says in His Word, it has to be yes and amen. Can I get a witness at home? You see, we're going to do another expository teaching, and we're going to complete this chapter, verses 8 through 18. But I believe Paul left this at the very end of his letter to the Galatian church, that there are consequences when we yield our members to our flesh and we set aside the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible is clear, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How many of at home truly struggle in the flesh? Listen, everyone does. The Bible says we're born in sin, shaping in iniquity. But when we got saved, God gave us one powerful element to combat our flesh, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we must yield our members to the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can walk in the freedom of Christ. That is the key, my friends, and this is why I've entitled this evening's message, Sowing to the Flesh Reaps Corruption. And we're going to see how Paul instructed the Galatian church. And my friends, this pertains to us today no differently. Can I get an amen in the house? So with that said, are we ready? Are we ready? So now, let's go. If you have your Bibles, Galatians chapter 6, let's start with verse 8. And here you go. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, notice capital S, Holy Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not what? Lose heart. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. Praise God. Praise God. And so, verse 11, see, with that large letters I have written to you with my own hand. So Paul's talking about his own hand. These are personal letters. Verse 12, as many as desired to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now we're looking at the Judaizers once again. Here we go, verse 13. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. Look at verse 14. But God forbid that I should boast except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 16 through 18. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Look at that. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen and amen. So, my friends, as you can see, Paul eluded and concluded that the key element for you and I is walk in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Listen, every one of us is going to be tempted. Every one of us are going to have these lustful desires. But there is no more excuse when you become born again. What do I mean by that? Meaning repented of our sins, washed in the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, and now we are heaven bound and hell to shun. So, my friends, are we going to make mistakes? Yes. Are we going to fall short? Yes. But we don't need to stay there like an unbeliever. An unbeliever will stay there and wallow in their sin like a hog in the mire. You know, pigs and hogs, they love the mud pits. They do not want to be clean. But we are now new creatures in Christ. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So let's break this down and let's have the Holy Spirit have his way. Can I get an amen? So let's go back to the word here. Let's start with verse 8. For he who sows to the flesh, of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit everlasting life. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, believers who use their lives and sow their resources to satisfy their own sinful desires will earn a harvest of decay and death. And my friends, those who live like this will not, hear me clearly, will not inherit the kingdom of God. When we sow to the flesh, we bring these seeds of destruction into our life. And believers who sow their resources and invest their lives to please the Spirit have a far different harvest. They will reap everlasting life. Praise God. How many of you at home want to reap everlasting life? Praise God. Praise God. So, my friends, how do we sow to please the Spirit? When we use our resources to grow spiritually and to support the Lord's work, that others can enter the kingdom and grow spiritually. You see, my friends, we are sowing to please the Spirit of God. Can I get an amen? That's right. But I want to ask this question. Why? Why? Well, we're going to find out in the book of Galatians right now as we go there. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at this. Because our harvest results in spiritual growth and souls reached for the kingdom. Thus, saints of God, our harvest lasts forever. This kind of stewardship of our resources can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. My friends, I'm here to let you know this scripture right here. For he who sows to the flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You see, my friends, when the Holy Spirit controls a believer's life, the results are amazing. Amazing. It's pointed out in our previous chapter. Let's go here for a moment. Let's go back here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Look at that. Self-control. Against such there is no law. In other words, it's bountiful, endless. The fruit born in a believer is what? Life-changing. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, that change will affect the believer's handling of everything, every aspect of their life. Money, use of talent, investment of time. Praise God. Praise God. So, let's move on now to verse 9. Look at this. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not what? Lose heart. That's one of the keys, my friends, not to lose heart. Saints, while good works will never earn salvation, Paul did encourage believers to persist in doing what is good. Praise God. And while we do good, we should not get weary. We should not get discouraged and give up. Praise God. You see, my friends, to continue the analogy of sowing and reaping, a farmer will have no harvest to reap if he becomes too weary to labor in the fields, or if he gives up altogether. The harvest will not reap itself. We as believers need, hallelujah, to plow ahead, saints of God, and every aspect of farming, planting, maintaining, and finally the harvesting takes hard work. So too believers must not become discouraged and give up when they follow the Holy Spirit's guidance. Can I get an amen? Which will allow us to grow spiritually and do good for God's kingdom. Praise God. How many of you want to do good in God's kingdom? I do. And so, my friends, while it may seem at times like a losing battle, when we're losing battles in our flesh, we are assured, saints of God, that we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. Oh, yes, we will. And what kind of harvest did the apostle have in mind, saints of God? A Christian will reap a harvest of present blessings. How many can't wait for the blessings, the fruit of the Spirit? Well-instructed believers, my friends, restoration and sinners and mutual support, that they would be saved through our life. How many of you want to be an influence to those who are watching our life? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But ultimately, he or she will reap the harvest of eternal life in the Holy Spirit, saints of God. And though the appropriate time is a time of God's own choosing, praise God, praise God, praise God. Paul was most likely referring to the time of the fulfillment of God's promises at Christ's second coming. Praise God, praise God. Look at what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at this. Which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Did you catch that, my friends? It's God's timing. Who alone has immortality, dwelling and unapproachable. Look at this, light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. So let's move on to verse 10 in Galatians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Verse 10. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to who? To those who are the household of faith. Praise God. Praise God. That's the key element. Be a blessing to someone, saints of God. That's right. That's right. Every time we have the opportunity to do good, we should do it, saints of God. The timing for doing good is always right. Can I get an amen? The opportunity is not optional. We are to treat it as a strategically placed by God in our path. Praise God. Our settings may continually change, but each one of us will bring a fresh opportunity for helping and serving. Praise God. Praise God. God calls believers, saints of God, to do good to everyone, believers and non-believers alike. The fruit of the Holy Spirit must be shared with both the Christian and the non-Christian world. Can I get an amen? They need to see a difference. They need to see what God is doing in your life. They need to see how God has delivered you and that you can testify what God has done in your life. Praise God. That's why we're having a testimonial service at the end of this month. I hope you write it down. I hope you remember, because it's going to be a blessed moment. And so, my friends, some fields may be very difficult to work. I get that. But our purpose should be to sow goodness anyway. If Paul still had in mind our financial responsibility, we should be willing to help others financially as well whenever we are able to do so. I remember when I used to attend Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, my former pastor, senior pastor, Pastor Leo, he would say, you know what? Go to God and don't be surprised if a white envelope showed up in your mailbox. And lo and behold, when he had the church praying, especially those who had a need, money would show up. And listen, God is the one that places on people's hearts for that blessing. And we don't need to know who they are. Can I get an amen? All we need to do is praise God and give them glory that that person heard from God and that they became a blessing to the kingdom of God. It wasn't just to bless you personally. It was to bring God glory and honor and praise. Praise God. But saints of God, we should focus particularly on the needs of our Christian brothers and sisters. The Christian family extends far beyond the walls of a particular church or the limits of a particular denomination to include all true believers. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, when Paul told individual believers to do good, he spoke to the responsibility in the community as well as in the church. The church is not meant to become merely a social agency, my friends, but individual believers can work together in meeting social needs, giving time and resources if God calls and enables them. Praise God. You see, my friends, sowing seeds of kindness to those in need expresses Christ's love and prepares hearts to receive the gospel. Oh, that's right. He left the Galatians with a strong word picture, my friends, the cross of Jesus Christ. And the decision that faced his readers was not really between two compelling voices of authority. No. Rather, my friends, the choice was between denying the cross or finding it through the only way of life. Praise God. Times are going to be tough, but God is saying endure. Endure till the end. Strengthen one another. Listen, there are many in the church, our church and many other churches, where people are hurting. Reach out to them. Say, hey, can I pray for you? What's your need right now? And let's ask God to meet that need. Be a blessing and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Listen, many of us go through situations of life where it seems like, wow, God, where are you? And it paints a giant canvas of problems in our life. But when you start sowing to the Spirit, and when you start serving others, and when you start praying for others, and you get on your knees, and it's not about what I need, it's about what someone else needs, guess what? That giant canvas becomes a little peephole, meaning what you thought that was so difficult allows you to go through it by God's grace, without the stress, without the worry, without the frustration, where you would focus on others and bless their lives while God is taking care of your situation. Can I get an amen? Let's move on now to verse 11. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. I love Paul. I love Paul the apostle. Why? Because he wrote everything with his own hand. And maybe he had at times had other people dictating, you know, his messages. But he went on record right here saying he wrote these letters with his own hand. Meaning, this is how important it was to Paul that the church would gravitate, that the church would adhere, that the church would learn to walk in the Spirit so that we wouldn't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise God. You see, saints, up to this point, Paul had probably dictated the letter to a scribe. Then he took the pen and closed the letter in his own handwriting. Praise God. Paul did this in other letters as well to add emphasis to his words and to validate the letter that was genuine. Praise God. Praise God. My friends, I want us to look at a couple of scriptures where it talks about this. Let's look at this for a moment. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 16:21. The salutation with my own hand. Paul's. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this next verse of scripture found in Colossians 4:18. It says, this salutation by my own hand. Paul, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. Paul was an awesome apostle. Praise God. And he had to endure all the way to the end. Look at this next one in 2 Thessalonians 3:17. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle so I write. Praise God. You see, my friends, Paul, he pointed out his large letters, perhaps because the contrast in the original letter was obvious. Paul, scribe, if trained in writing, would have written in well form in Greek characters, but he wanted it to be personal. Paul, a preacher, not a scribe, had a less precise writing style. Another theory is that Paul wrote in large letters due to poor eyesight. We don't know this. And most likely, however, Paul wrote in large letters to emphasize, as these last verses reiterate the main points of the epistles that were basically his personal scriptures. He wanted to make this personal. He wanted this to the reader that God had given him illumination and insight and the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 12 in Galatians chapter 6. And it reads, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may what? Not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Did you catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? Wow. Wow. You see, my friends, Paul concluded the key points of this letter. He referred again to the Judaizers. The Judaizers were like a thorn in the flesh to Christianity. The false teachers who were causing all the trouble and confusion in Galatia. Those who were trying to force the Galatian believers to be circumcised were only doing it because they didn't want to be persecuted for the teaching of the cross and that Christ alone can only save. No, the Judaizers wanted works involved. Listen, I've been to many churches. I've visited many churches, even in this day and time that we live in. And a lot of their quote-unquote salvation relies on their works. You have to look a certain way, talk a certain way, do a certain way. You got to eliminate things in your life. Listen, the power of the Holy Spirit will do that all by itself. You don't need man's inventions. Oh, that's right. And then if you're not following their ways, they have a misguided theological stand against you that I don't think that person saved. Oh, yes, I've been there, done that. Saints of God, those kind of those kind of denominations, stay far from. Why? Because we all struggle in the flesh. We're all going to miss the mark. But it's God who sustains us. It's God who gives us the heart to repent. It is God who keeps us in His perfect will. Oh, that's right. That's right. But when you're filled with condemnation, even from spiritual leaders, it takes a pounding and a beating. And I'm reminded that Jesus said that my yoke is light and my burden is easy, or vice versa. My friends, we need to follow the teachings of Christ. Can I get an amen? See, the Judaizers had brought legalistic issues to the surface once again. But their rejection of the death of Christ ran even deeper, saints of God. To accept that the cross alone can save includes accepting certain beliefs. That people are sinners under God's curse. That a personal sacrifice was required. That only the death of Christ on the cross could secure people's salvation. And that people can do nothing to obtain that salvation but to accept Christ's sacrifice on their behalf. That was their ideology. People don't want to be told they are sinners who can do nothing but accept someone else's help. Oh, that's right. Human nature alone, saints of God, would much prefer to earn salvation if only to be able to pride along with the accomplishment. Oh, that's right. Oh, look what I did. Look at me. Look what I refrained from. Look that I don't speak like that no more. No, that's but God's grace and mercy. Hallelujah. There's nothing we can do to pat ourselves on the back. If you're looking for accolades, the same people that'll praise you in the morning are the same people that'll curse you in the evening. Oh, that's right. Watch out for people patting you on the back. Oh, you know, and looking at you as a super saint. No, we are supposed to be humble at the side of the cross. The Word of God says, humble yourself at the side of the cross, and then God will elevate you. He'll lift you up. I'd rather be elevated by Christ and Him alone. Can I get an amen, saints of God? And so to preach anything else would incur persecution, as Paul would learn over and over again from these Judaizers. Praise God. Let's move on to verse 13. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may what? Boast in your flesh. Wow. Wow. There they go again. These Judaizers. You see, saints, in addition to attracting the Judaizers' motives to make a good impression and escape persecution, Paul attacked them because all they wanted to do was brag about it and claim the Galatians as their disciples. In other words, saints of God, they wanted to report the number of circumcisions back to their superiors. For the Judaizers to sell Judaism to Christians meant selling them a worthless product. Praise God. You see, my friends, the Judaizers compelled the believers to be circumcised as they had been, thereby bringing them under what? Under the law with them. My goodness, my goodness. Yet, the Judaizers themselves did not and could not really keep the whole law. They couldn't, you see, because they're in the flesh. They don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if the Jews themselves couldn't keep the law, how futile it was to compel new Christians to accept circumcision that would bind them to that same law. My goodness, my goodness. You see, my friends, worse yet, the Judaizers did this for the sake of pride, personal pride, religious pride, national pride. Yet pride all the same. And we all know how God looks at pride. Praise God, praise God. It's an abomination. It's one of the seven. And not a very strong base for dealing with someone's eternal destiny. Praise God, praise God. Let's move on now to verse 14. Here we go. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for Paul, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. See, Paul always referred to Jesus, hallelujah, not to man. Praise God, praise God. You see, saints, To boast with puffed up pride would be sinful arrogance. Arrogance. While the Judaizers sought to please people, escape persecution, and boast in statistics, Paul's boasting was never of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, Paul could boast about the cross. Why? Because what the cross had accomplished in his life. For Paul, it was as though his interest in this world had died away, and vice versa, saints of God. Paul had no need of the earthly and selfish motives and ambitions of this world. No, he didn't. His only boast was the cross, the only way of salvation, of that of Jesus Christ. Why? Because salvation belongs to every believer personally, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. He's our Savior and our Messiah. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. So let's move on now to verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a what? A new creation. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, Paul, a circumcised Jew, knew that his circumcision counted for nothing as a means to salvation. Nothing. Neither was uncircumcision a detriment to salvation. Neither of these outward markings makes any difference to God regarding salvation. You need to catch that, saints of God. The cross of Christ made such distinctions, valuesness, and put all people on equal ground. I've always said this time and time again, we're all equal at the cross. Praise God. There's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. You see, my friends, when Jews or Gentiles become believers, they are changed into new people, different people. That's what counts. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are new creatures in Christ. And that's all that counts, saints of God. And the only thing that matters is being born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And how do we know if we have been changed? Praise God. By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, what He has accomplished on the cross. Being born again by the power of the Holy Spirit and living by His transforming power. How many of you can honestly say that you have been transformed from the inside out? Praise God. Praise God. It's God who makes the changes. It's God who cleanses, who sanctifies us, who builds us up, who gives us the path of righteousness. We are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. There is nothing to boast about our salvation, only that God's grace and mercy came to you and me. Can I get an amen in the house? Someone give God a shout and praise. Hallelujah. Because it was Jesus and Him alone that saved us from the guttermost to the uttermost. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on to verse 16. Here we go. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Woo, that, saints, this sentence underlined Paul's entire argument. This principle refers to the gospel message that Paul had defended throughout this whole entire letter. That we receive salvation by grace through faith alone. Praise God. You see, my friends, Paul might have said to those who believe this principle, however, he chose the words live by to emphasize the Galatians' problem, because they had a problem because of the Judaizers. And saints of God, they had initially believed, but they hadn't followed or walked or grown in that belief, and thus had fallen prey to the Judaizers. Praise God. It's no different today, saints of God. There are many denominations that will lead you astray. They will give you condemnation, man's condemnation. I'm here to let you know, the only condemnation that comes is from the devil. God brings convictions. That's the difference. There's condemnation from the devil, but there's convictions from the Holy Spirit. I'd rather be convicted of my sin than be condemned. Why? Because when you're condemned about your sin, it takes you lower and lower and lower, and it takes you into a pit, which some can't even climb out of anymore, spiritually and emotionally. But I'm here to let you know that God's grace and mercy, as we just read, far exceeds the condemnation of Judaizers, even of the Judaizers of this day. And so, my friends, but to those who did follow and hope this would include all the Galatian believers, Paul wished mercy and peace. Peace was a common greeting and benediction. Praise God. Praise God. It's also, he used the Old Testament as references. Let's look at this. Found in Psalms 125, 5. Look at this. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. Wow. Peace be upon Israel. Look at this in Psalms 128, 6. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. He always prayed for Israel, saints of God. At the beginning of this letter, Paul had greeted the Galatians with peace and grace. But here he chose mercy and peace. These two characteristics, saints of God, would return in great force. If the Galatians would follow through on their original commitment to Christ, they wouldn't have this issue. The exit of the Judaizers, my friends, and the renewed commitment to share each other's troubles would yield a harvest of mercy and peace. You see, he saved grace for his final phrase in this letter. Praise God. And these believers are the new people of God. No longer are the promises focused on the Jews alone. Instead, the people of God are those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Praise God. Can I get an amen? And that's what we need today, is Christ and Him alone. Praise God. He is the solid rock. He is our foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. Praise God. Follow nothing else but the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? We're coming in for a close. We got two more verses to break down. Let's go to verse 17. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, Paul ended this letter with a request that this trouble would stop. Paul had aptly argued against the Judaizers' teaching in this letter, ending the need for more to be said about them. Praise God. He expected the Galatian Christians to return to the faith and stand up for themselves against these false teachers. He had provided the ammunition that they should use, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, my friends, the suffering he had endured for the faith should be enough to encourage these believers to remain steadfast against false teaching. This is why it's so important to testify what God has done in your life, so that people would see hope, that there's hope for them as well, that they would see God who has transformed you by grace and mercy, and now you and I are walking in this hope, the hope of God. We want people to see that, not to boast in, but to glorify God. Look what God has done in our lives. You see, my friends, Paul bore on his body the scars that showed that he belonged to Jesus. He had to endure very severe persecution. And this referred not to circumcision, but to the scars Paul received when he was persecuted for the sake of the gospel. Some of these he received while he was in Galatia, which is recorded throughout the Word of God. It's recorded everywhere. Oh, yes, yes it is. Let's look at this one right here in Philippians. Look at this. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Oh, that's right, saints of God. Look at this one in Colossians 1:24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. It was all about the church, saints of God. It was all, he died to self to live for Christ as a drink offering. Oh, that's right. If it wasn't for Paul, we wouldn't be reading any of these epistles. But it was but the grace of God. Hallelujah. So let's go to our last verse right here in this wonderful book of Galatians. Verse 18, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And he finalizes it with saying amen. And saints, unlike many of Paul's other letters, Paul included no personal greetings or remarks as he concluded this letter. Praise God. And perhaps he did not want to lighten the solemnity of the letter's contents, but wanted to close the letter in a way that would cause the Galatians to think of nothing but acting upon Paul's words. And so instead, he closed as he began. Hallelujah. Wishing the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ on these believers. Grace was exactly what Paul hoped would be the result of his entire urgent letter to them. That they would return to the gospel of salvation by God's grace alone, my friends. I'm here to let you know that we are living in troubled times. We're seeing wars and rumors of wars. I truly believe that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is very soon. We don't know the day or the hour. We don't know exactly the day, but we do see the seasons. Jesus spelled it out in Matthew chapter 24. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes in various places, false teachers, false Christ, those who would deceive the church. We're seeing apostasy, people falling away from the truth. And many of them haven't returned since COVID. Oh, my friends, we're seeing right now the decay of wickedness in this nation. But I'm here to let you know there's hope in Jesus Christ. There's hope in God. And all we have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's right, saints of God. We do. We need to know that God, hallelujah, is the bishop and lover of our soul. How many believe that? How many believe right now that God will bless you through this very troubling time? And I'm praying for those right now that may be watching, maybe for the first time, second time, I don't know. All I know, God is saying to receive this great and awesome salvation, you need to repent. You need to repent and give your heart to Christ. It's very simple. You turn your back on sin and turn to the living God and ask God to save you. Ask God to be merciful to you. Ask God that His grace would be upon you. And that no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, God's grace is sufficient. He will bless you. He will save you. And when He returns, we will be with Him forevermore. How many of you right now know people that need to be saved? Well, the key is to pray for them. Put them on your daily journal in your private time and cry out. Call out their name to God. Ask God to be merciful to them. But maybe, just maybe, you're watching for the very first time and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you right now to bow your heart and your head. And I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's watching to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Bow your heart and your head and ask Jesus to come into your life and say this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. I believe the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, Amen, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Listen, someone just gave their heart to God. Someone just got saved. Hallelujah. If that's you, look down below. That's our website. Hey, log on. Our email, our phone number's there. We want to put a Bible in your hand and lead you to a place that teaches the unadulterated Word of God. And we want to thank and praise God. And also, I just want to give a giant thank you for those who still bless our ministry, who believe that we have purpose for such a time as this, to reach out to those to be saved, that God would do the miraculous in their life. And so down below, as you can see, donations are deeply appreciated. And so, my friends, I loved this book, the book of Galatians. I'll be praying about next week. I don't know what book. I'm leaning toward maybe Titus. I don't know. But I need to pray to see what God would start this new book for next Wednesday. And so, just a last minute reminder, don't forget the last Sunday, October 30th. It's going to be at 6 p.m. and we're going to have worship and testimonies. And man, I'm telling you, it's going to be a power pack evening. And I'm looking forward to this Sunday at 10 a.m. And right after our service, we're going to be having the healing rooms. And I'm praying that you would invite those to come out if they need a healing, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom and encouragement. And we're mighty thankful. We're thankful for our leaders, all the leaders. And I want to give a great big shout out to Sister Tammy Hernandez and Brother Angel Hernandez, who lead the worship team. They're doing a marvelous job, and we're mighty thankful for that. And so, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, I leave you this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. And so, my friends, we look forward to seeing you this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. in beautiful Bonita, California. Our address is 5305 Sweetwater Road, and we hope to see you at 10 a.m. And so, thank you for joining me this evening. Looking forward to seeing you Sunday morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.